This is the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Kyle Gillum with the U.S. Grains Council. First off, president of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives is Chuck Connor on how we can cut food waste.
It makes some sense if you think about it. If you produce food, you have the inputs, you know, the labor, everything that goes into the production of that food, and it simply gets discarded. You know, the waste there alone is intolerable in that circumstance, but then you add the disposal, and the creation of greenhouse gas emissions that comes with having that product in landfills and other areas. It's something that needs to be addressed, and we are proposing a pretty extensive education and training program that begins with USDA feeding efforts to attempt to do all that we can to minimize that, because we think there are gains that can be made in greenhouse gas emissions by simply better utilizing the very food that our farmers are putting on the table for you.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Dr. Kyle Gillum, who is the U.S. Grains Council's Manager of Global Strategies and Trade. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to get to chat with you today.
Well, a little background about you, even though I know some of this. Let's talk about your journey from being a Quanah Indian to Washington, D.C., and working with the U.S. Grains Council. Just take us through that. And did you actually start in ag?
Yeah, I've been involved in ag my whole life. I actually was born and raised in ag. My family has cattle and wheat there in Quanah. Was a big-time ag student all through school. In fact, my first career was working with Texas FFA for a little bit, and then I was actually the high school ag science teacher in my hometown of Quanah for 5 years. Actually, I taught high school ag 6 years. I did 1 year in Wichita Falls as well. And that actually all led me back through Texas Tech a couple times for degrees. I got my PhD in ag education from Texas Tech before I actually moved to the West Coast, and I taught it at Virginia Tech. I taught ag ed courses at Virginia Tech before landing at the council in my current role.
And when we talk about the U.S. Grains Council, some will already know what we're talking about, but there's got to be an elevator speech that gives you the opportunity to talk about what the council does.
Yeah, so we're an agricultural trade organization. We promote and market U.S. Corn, sorghum, barley, and ethanol, and, of course, all the co-products all around the world. So we actually have 10 different offices across the globe, everywhere from here in D.C. to Japan and Korea, North Africa. You name it, we've got just about every part of the world covered with staff.
Which I think is a perfect place to segue into this. And I introduced you as the Manager of Global Strategies and Trade. So Where does that allow you to focus under the umbrella of the Grains Council?
Yes, that's a great question. My role is, I like to joke, it's a little bit of a catch-all. Part of my job, I provide direct support to our South Asia office, which has been operating out of Singapore as we've been trying to get our office opened in India, which just got approved, and we're going to have that opened in January. So I provide support to that office specifically for the programming. But the other part of my job is as what we call a trade servicer. And so that means anywhere around the world where there might be some sort of an issue with trade, my job is to go in and determine what the issue is and find a solution for that, which has actually led me to work a lot in North Africa here the last couple of years. Been working on some trade issues in Egypt, where they stopped importing U.S. corn because they said they couldn't store it. And so I've been working on a program to teach them how to store corn properly to increase exports to that part of the world. So I really get to do a lot of interesting things in my role. And, of course, part of my role as well is to manage and put together our corn quality report, which I know we'll talk about here in a minute. So I do those types of things, as well as gather data and do research studies with various consultants around the world.
Well, when we talk about the corn quality for 2021, there have been years that we've really not wanted to talk so much about the quality of the corn because we had challenges in one part of the country or another. And growing up in Texas, I mean, obviously, we've seen some of those challenges in the past. But when you look at this 2021 crop, first off, what kind of a crop did we see from the quality side? And then the second part of this question, tell us how the report is actually delivered to those end buyers, like you were talking about earlier, how they can actually reap the benefits of that report.
Yeah, it's funny you talk about we had some years where quality was kind of down. Actually, my first year at the council and working on the report was one of those years. Had the large freezes and bad weather up north, and really just not a great year on overall corn quality that year. So we were struggling to find number two corn that we were hoping to have it hit the export market and all that year. Completely different this year. We had great growing conditions across the whole season and pretty much across the U.S. Led to I think the numbers, I might be wrong, but I think the numbers have us right at the second largest corn crop in history this year. I might be wrong on that, but I know it's somewhere, if it's not second, it's pretty close to that. So really a great abundant crop. And then when you look at our report and our study, we took 610 samples. I'll just get a little bit of how the report's put together. 610 samples from the 12 largest corn producing states that actually account for over 90% of U.S. corn exports. So we've kind of focused it towards where the exports are coming from. So out of those 610 samples, 90% of the samples graded out at U.S. grade number one, and then 98% of the samples were U.S. grade number two or better. And so really there is an abundance of high-quality corn available in the U.S. this year. And when you put that together with the fact that there's, it's one of the largest crops that we've had, that really makes it a huge opportunity for exports coming out of the year. So you actually asked about how those customers might use this report. We are hitting the export markets right now with U.S. corn. There places such as China, Mexico, they're already putting in sales for U.S. corn. And what these customers will do is we'll roll this report out to all of our different countries, everywhere we have contacts, and we'll show them what's available. And I actually use this to help planning out their year for buying. It's a good tool for them to make good decisions on when and how much corn they want to take from the U.S. And it really, it's very comforting to our customers around the world to know that there's going to be an abundance of high-quality corn coming from the U.S. because, I mean, other places they go to, it's not always consistent. And that's what we like to show them with this report, is that we have a consistent and good crop coming from the U.S. year in and year out.
You mentioned Africa. I just wonder about destinations like Egypt. When they bring in corn, they're actually storing it flat, if I understand correctly, which causes some other challenges along the way. Is that one of the areas that you've been focused on in the past?
Yes. So that's the Egyptian market is a really interesting one, and I've gotten to work in it specifically on storage issues since joining the council 2 years ago. But the Egyptian market is a 10 million metric ton import market for corn, and we used to average about a million to a million and a half metric tons of U.S. corn going to that market until about 2.5-3 years ago, when they finally just said that the U.S. corn quality was bad and it couldn't be stored. And so that's actually one of the main programs I've worked on is teaching them how to, and you were right, it is primarily flat storage, at least at the ports, because the government of Egypt doesn't let these importers have silos. So if you go to an Egyptian port, you might see silos, but those silos belong to the government and not to individual importers. And so that is one of the things we've done, is gone in and we've been teaching them how to properly store U.S. corn in general, but the intent is to get them to understand the ins and outs of storing U.S. corn in those flat warehouses. So we've actually helped them outfit some of their storage facilities with the proper fans. It's really interesting when you go over there and you know that in the summertime in Egypt, it'll be 120 degrees and 98% humidity, and they're basically just taking corn and sewing it in a flat warehouse and crossing their fingers, hoping that it would make it. And so we've actually been able to go in and show them how to use fans, how to monitor temperature and humidity and all those things to make the right decisions on grain storage management. And so far that program has paid off. The company we've been working with specifically has already made they've got three or four vessels of U.S. corn over the last year, just since we started working with them on storage practices, and that relationship continues to get stronger each and every day. So we're hopeful to see even larger exports go out from the U.S. to Egypt in the coming years.
You talk about the relationships, and with about a minute left, we've been talking about the U.S. Grains Council, but it's a unique public-private partnership that allows you to do that work, and that partnership starts with at the state level, right, with good partners who contribute and want to see the program advance.
Yeah. So if you look at the membership of the U.S. Grains Council, all of our state corn associations, Texas Corn being one of them, they're members. And so we work with them. They help provide funding and direction for our programming. And really, it comes down to us all working together to find ways to increase sales of U.S. corn, which really just that helps out the American farmer across the board. And that is our goal with the U.S. Grains Council, is to make a better situation, better environment for anybody who's in the ag industry.
Kyle, always good to visit with you. Come back and see us soon, will you?
Yes, sir, will do.
The Manager for Global Strategies and Trade with the U.S. Grains Council, Dr. Kyle Gilliam, who joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate digital agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
It's the new leader of the herd. The Fendt 1000 Vario is the world's largest draft tractor. With up to 500 horsepower, it pulls with tremendous strength and next-level traction. Fendt's breakthrough technology makes it incredibly effortless to operate around the farm, and its superior cab will have you feeling right at home. Experience all the innovations of the Fendt 1000 Vario today. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest, Kyle Gilliam with the U.S. Grains Council. Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with the U.S. Grains Council online, grains.org.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
So what might be on the list of USDA secretarial briefing reports available for live stream in the future? Joe Parsons of the National Agricultural Statistics Service says the first live stream occurs March 30th for the quarterly hogs and pigs report.
Our prospective plantings, which comes out the next day at noon, we'll brief that on 12:05 on the 31st.
Plus the monthly USDA crop production report and world agricultural supply and demand estimates starting in April. In addition,
we'll be releasing a report on local foods, agriculture that's being marketed directly and locally. That'll take place in late April. We have another report on organics.
A schedule of live streamed events will also be found at the USDA NASS website, www.nass.usda.gov, with live streams found at www.youtube.com/USDA NASS, all one word. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.